Amen. Anybody have a word of testimony on your heart you want? I like it. Yeah, I like it. Hey, man, I like it. I like it. Amen. Amen. You know, this is why a lot of folks on the frontier liked the way the Baptist preached. You know, we didn't have as much education as a lot of the, you know, the frontier Presbyterians. You had to go to college, you had to go to seminary before they would license you to preach, ordain you. And all those old Baptists, they just read the Bible. They went down and just started preaching in the woods and burning it up, and they liked it because people got a little excited about being saved, not going to hell, you know. And I've told you a dozen times how, you know, I watched Reggie Cobb run the game-winning touchdown in the Peach Bowl back in, I never can remember if it was 87, 88, it might have been the 88 Peach Bowl, I can't remember, 87 Peach Bowl, one or the other. But anyway, we came out of Fulton County Stadium screaming our heads off. I couldn't talk above a whisper. And a lot of folks will say, man, I just can't believe you get so excited in church. Well, when I came up here and reminded folks in Indiana that Tennessee whipped Indiana in the Peach Bowl back in the late 80s, it probably brought back some old festered wounds. And they did it here a couple of years ago, too. They beat Indiana again. And not that I'm a huge football fan anymore. I don't watch it much. But just to think that I got excited over something that really doesn't matter in the long run. I mean, it's fun. It's exciting. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I like it just much as the next man. I mean, you catch fish. You enjoy that fish being on the line. You reel it in. What do? You cast it out again. Why? Because you want that high again. But you keep doing it because you enjoy it. But there's nothing better than being able to have a testimony, get excited about the Lord because you're not going to hell. I mean, like Brother Sammy Allen, you say, don't get too excited. Your sins are only all forgiven. You're only going to go to heaven. You're only going to live as long as God lives. You're only not going to hell. Don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. I said amen. 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 I saw a clip of Brother Sammy on Facebook here a couple of days ago. And he said when he was a younger man. I can't remember if he was smoking or dipping or chewing or something like that. And he said the preacher come along and said, tell you what. Before you put that chew of tobacco in your mouth, said, won't you just bow your head and ask God to bless it real good? And if you can ask God, because the Bible says to in all things give thanks, you know, and thank the Lord for that chew of tobacco. Stick it in your mouth and chew it to the glory of God. And I just kind of stepped back and laughed because, yeah, that just ain't possible. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out. That didn't cost you any extra. It's not even in my notes up here, so amen. Now that I killed the service, anybody else want to testify tonight? Amen. Yes, sir.
I just
want to
thank everybody for the prayers they gave.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It seems we'll find out what's going on.
Amen.
I left here a little bit of good peace.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. 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 Yes, sir. I was thanking the Lord for that in the prayer room tonight, just the peace that you was able to leave with. That sure was a blessing. Amen. Say folks can have peace in the midst of troubles and trials. And I just bless the Lord. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the devil steps in there and he says, oh, yeah, you don't care about you, you don't. You got this peace about you. And I said, all of a sudden you got this fight going.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's one of the best indicators that you're saved is you've got that struggle going on. You want to do right, but then you hear that voice that says, nah, you know, that's not the right thing. Well, you know, the devil never told me to stop doing bad when I was unsaved. He never told me that, nah, you probably ought not to do that good thing because I had no desire to do a lot of good. I mean, I wanted to be nice in front of people and, you know, not make my parents upset with me and all that, and part of it was I just didn't want to get beat. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, a good old-fashioned Southern whooping. I mean, that's just kind of the way it was around our place. And so, but I just I thank the Lord for that struggle just because it lets you know that He lives on the inside. Amen. Amen. Anybody else this evening? Anybody? Amen. Amen. We need a lot more whoopings. That's right. Amen. That's right. Not spankings, but whoopings. Amen. There is a difference. Amen. That's right. Amen. 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 You just obey the Lord, honey. That's right. You don't you worry about that. Amen. That's right. It stirs me up too. That's right. That's why I'm not going to hell, because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. 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 That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Anyone else tonight? If you're on Facebook, you can just go ahead and put them little two hands and say hallelujah or something. Let us know you appreciate it. Amen. That's right. All righty. John chapter number 6. Everybody else obeyed the Lord tonight. So, John 6. Yeah, let's start at verse number 22. I'm not going to read the entire passage. I probably could, but I'm not going to read the entire passage. But we will read a good bit of it as we go through the text tonight. I want to bring you just a couple things this evening that I would have brought this morning had the Lord not just kind of gotten the arrangements. And I love it when the Lord gets in the arrangements and changes things up. I love it when He does that. Amen. So John chapter 6, I want you to look at verse number 22. The Bible says, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias down to the place where the Lord did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they also took shipping, came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. And then said they unto Him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. They said therefore unto Him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. And you'll forgive me if I just cut the shouting here in just a second. Verse 37 says, All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. Amen. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. We ought to call a 20-second timeout and just plumb shout. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Didn't say Him that brings His good works, Him that brings His baptismal certificate, He that brings His confirmation certificate, she that brings her Sunday school teacher certificate. It just simply says, Him that cometh to Me, I'll in no wise cast out. So I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. You will see Me in heaven. And I'm going to say something very bold right here because I believe what I just read. If I don't get to heaven, God's a liar. So I wouldn't say that, preacher. I know. You may not, but I'm saying it. If I did not get to heaven, it'd be because God's a liar. You know why? Because one day I read that verse and I came to Him. I threw everything that I had to the side and I said, I am coming to You. And if You don't save me, I am not going to be saved. I have put all my faith and trust in the words of Jesus. Someone says, well, preacher, you're just believing the words written in the Bible. You're not believing Jesus. Don't make a distinction where God doesn't make a distinction. You go to the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word. That's the incarnate Word. The incarnate Word, when He spoke, that was the living Word. Can I get a witness on that? Come on now. Amen. I know that's a bold statement. I know that's a bold statement, but I do not mind making it. I will stand here, and if God Himself were to step into this room, by the way, He's here, Holy Spirit, tonight. Amen. You brought Him with you. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. If He was here tonight in a bodily form, I would say nothing different than what I just said. Brother Eric, I put all my eggs in one basket. I've come to Him. I have trusted Him with my never dying soul. And He said, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. The Southern Version ain't never going to cast you away, cast you out. Amen. 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 That's right. So we'll stop reading there tonight, and then we'll look here at this text for a little while this evening. Lord, we thank You for the reading of the Word of God. Lord, I thank You that I can stand here tonight in confidence, knowing that what You have said, You're going to keep. We can say with the words of Paul, speaking of Abraham in Romans 4, being fully persuaded that what You had promised, You were able also to perform. And so, Lord, we are persuaded of that tonight. Lord, there is no hope that I have outside of the finished work of Christ. Lord, I'm just trusting the mercy of God through the shed blood of Jesus. And I know there's a room full of people here tonight who, if they were to testify, regardless of whether they were in a truck, whether they were in a church, whether they were out in the field somewhere, Lord, I know it's not so much that location, but Lord, it's a special location because You dealt with folks at that location. But Lord, it's about who met them at that location. I sure do thank You tonight for that. Lord, I pray You'd bless the Word of God this evening. I pray, Lord, that You would help us tonight. Open up our hearts and minds to receive with meekness, Lord, Your Word. And Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. We don't deserve it, but we pray that You'd help us. And Lord, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was studying and another passage, I did a cross-reference. And a lot of times cross-references, I love how they work. They help you to understand. Probably one of the greatest Bible study tools you could ever get if you're still a printed book person is what's called the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It's 500,000 cross-references, and it's just an excellent study tool. You see the little margins in your Bible. You see the little numbers. They'll give you cross-references. There might be, one, maybe zero. But now, sometimes it might stretch it just a little bit, and you wonder, how is that related to the verse? But I would encourage you to get a copy of that because it helps to open up things in your Bible, and you see how the Bible is such an interwoven book, and that the Bible speaks on these subjects. In the New Testament, you'll see some in the Old Testament, other spots in the New Testament, and it is a huge blessing. But as I was studying this verse, or these verses, a particular phrase came and kind of jumped out, and we'll get to that here in a little while tonight. But before we do that, I got to set the stage. In John chapter number 6, the Lord goes over the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude follows Him. And the only miracle outside of the resurrection that is recorded in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. And that is in the first part of John chapter number 6. And as the disciples are talking to the Lord tells them to feed them. And you know it's the feeding of the 5,000. Chapter 6 verse 9, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? That's how you know that Philip was a Baptist, or as Andrew was a Baptist, because he was just pessimistic. Amen. That's right. Come on now. And so he said, make the men sit down. And the men sat down. In verse number 10, Jesus takes the loaves. He gives thanks. He distributes to the disciples. The disciples to those who are sat down. And they gave everybody, according to verse 11, as much as they would. When the Lord commands them to gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost, they gathered them together. Verse 13, there were 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaf. So you've got this feeding of the 5,000. Now, I want you to look at verse number 15, or verse 14. Those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that you come to the world." That's a reference to Deuteronomy 18, verse number 15, where Moses said, "The Lord's going to raise up a prophet like unto me, him you shall follow." These people, they saw the Lord feed them. I mean, you got 5,000 men besides women and children. You're probably talking, it's safe to say, 12 to 15,000 that were fed there. And as the Lord has fed them, everybody has eaten. It's just like being at a homecoming down south. Everybody eats. They're full of banana pudding and they can't eat no more. I mean, they're done. And these folks had had all the loaves, all the fish they could have. And the men said, when they saw that miracle, "This is the prophet that Moses talked about." Now, I want you to look at verse 15. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come," notice this phrase, "and take him," how? "By force," to what? "To make him king. He departed again into a mountain himself alone." Now, I remember reading this when I first got saved, and I thought to myself, now wait a minute. Didn't Jesus come to offer himself as king? Why in the world did any of this not let him go ahead and take him, make him king? Because you would have avoided the cross. I remember reading that, thinking that to myself years ago. Later on, I read a little further and found out that Jesus had to go to Calvary. He had to die for the sins of the world. It was the plan of the Father from the beginning to do that. But notice the motive behind the people. The motive there was to take him by force and to make him king. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So as we come to the text, here's what we're looking at tonight. We're looking at a group of people who were interested in Jesus. They saw the miracles, but they didn't see the miracles. They saw the miracle in verse number 14 when they had seen the miracle. But verse 26 tells us, Jesus answered them and said, after they said, "When did you get over here? Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." They saw the miracle, but they didn't see the same thing that Jesus was trying to get. So here's the thing I want us to see just for a minute. I'm going to come back to some of these verses in a moment. But why did Jesus do the miracles? Why did he do those? Jesus did the miracles because, according to 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign. God has always dealt with the Jew by the sign. Go back to Exodus 3, you find out that Moses put his hand into his bosom, he pulled it out, and it was leprous. Now, I know that Charlton Heston didn't do that on the movie, but that's what happened in the Bible. And he put it back into his bosom, and it came out, and it was not leprous. He threw the staff on the ground. Moses was not only a Baptist, he was a Baptist from the south, because when that rod turned to a snake, he ran and hid himself. He was afraid of the snakes. Yeah, some of y'all are like, "Yeah, Moses, you should have got out the judge and just judged that snake. Bam, that'd have been done." But Moses reached forward, took it by the tail, it became a rod again. Those were the signs that Moses was to give to the children of Israel to show that God had sent him. When Jesus comes on the scene, he does miracles as well to prove that he is the Messiah. And so as Jesus is engaged in his earthly ministry, he's doing these miracles. And yes, he's healing people. Thank God he's healing people. He's giving sight to the blind. He's giving sound to the deaf, speech to the dumb. He's giving the ability to walk to those who are unable to walk, to the lame. He takes the palsied man, "I say unto thee, arise." And he lifts up, he takes his bed, and he walks away. Just an amazing thing. And so because of that, Jesus worked miracles because he was showing to them that he was the Messiah. But I want to come back here again. Look at Jesus' words in verse 26. "You seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." We see the miracles, but now we see the motive. What was the motive of these Jews? They followed Jesus, listen to me, not because they thought he was the Messiah, but they followed him because of what he did for them. Beware when people follow Jesus because of what Jesus does for them. Now, what do I mean by that? There are people who will follow Jesus as long as he does for them what they think that he ought to do for them. But they don't follow him for who he is. Who is Jesus? He is Lord. He is Savior. That's who he is. But a lot of times, here's what people will do. They'll talk about Jesus being my buddy. I mean, you've seen the church. Jesus is my homeboy. I hate to tell you this, sir, but Jesus ain't nobody's homeboy. Amen. He is the God of heaven. Amen. Amen. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, he's not, you know, the old man upstairs. He is the God of heaven. And when we talk about Christ, we need to treat him with respect. Now, so what they're doing is they're following Jesus because, watch this, what he gave to them. Jesus said, you're not following me because you saw the miracles. Not because, and as you read the text and you meditate on it, you'll see a little bit later where he gives them a little more truth. They choke and then they just walk away. A lot of his disciples walked back and didn't follow him anymore. But they followed him for one reason. What did Jesus say? But because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They followed Jesus because he put food in their mouths. Watch this. They didn't have to go work. Didn't have to grind out the barley. Ladies didn't have to grind the barley out. And if you've never done that before, when I was in Bible Institute years ago, the teacher, we were studying manners and customs, he brought in a marble mortar and pestle. You've seen those. Which some people call them a pill grinder. And he went and got barley, just regular barley from the store, put the barley into the mortar, and then passed the mortar around. Everybody took the pestle and tried to grind up the barley. I'm going to tell you, no man in this building would want to arm wrestle one of those women who would grind the barley every single day. She'd whoop all of us. Amen. We took the mortar. We'd grind it down. You know, we'd grind it. We didn't use them in chemistry anymore. I mean, they just kind of sat on the side because nobody, you know, ground stuff up. But we'd sit there and grind and grind and grind. And you'd get a little bit of dust. Thinking, my goodness. Now, part of it was a marble one. We didn't want to take it and, you know, hurt it. Because some of the ladies, they take those stones and they would actually get it on the grind wheel and grind it. I mean, they'd have a little more force behind a little bit of a bigger pestle, if you will. But it took a lot of work to grind that. Watch this. You got these men out here. You got the women and the children. Man, that's nice. It's just like pulling up and saying, I want a number one supersize with large fries and a sweet tea, praise God. I mean, that's exactly the way it was, except they didn't even have to pay for it. They followed Jesus because of what Jesus did for them. When you turn on so-called Christian television, you're listening to people who follow a Jesus, listen to me, of their own desire for what he does for them. Jesus makes me feel good. Jesus doesn't make me feel bad. Jesus loves me unconditionally. And that's true. Thank God Jesus loves us unconditionally. Praise God. The problem is the Jesus on so-called Christian television is not the Jesus of the Bible. You can't go to Houston, Texas, go to Joel Osteen's church, go walk in and get a gospel message. You can't get one. He doesn't preach the gospel. And the reason people follow Jesus is because he fed them. He fed them. They thought that he was that prophet. They said that. And they're going to mention that here in a little bit. But look down here in verse 27. Labor not. Don't work. Don't labor for the meat that perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now notice this. Someone says, now this is verse 28. I'm not trying to pull this out of context. Let me just deal with this and go on. Some people say, preacher, I'm going to work my way to heaven. What do I need to do that I can please God and work the work of God? Well, if I were going to give you an answer, I'd give you Jesus' answer. This is the work of God, verse 29, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. No work to get to God, no good works. If you want to please the Lord, you believe on the one that God has sent, and that's Christ. Amen. Now, but I want you to notice, I don't want to, what's the word I could use here? I want you to notice how sly the people think they are in verse number 30. I want you to look at this. Just kind of read along with me. I'll preach you the Bible's a boring book. Read it. Put yourself into that time frame. Hear what Jesus has already said. Now listen to the people. Okay? Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now you think, well, preacher, all they're doing is they're saying, you know, the Lord said, believe on him. Well, how do we know that we need to believe you? We need to see a sign. We need to see a sign. All you got to do is just work. Just give us a sign. Just give us a sign. You know what they were wanting, don't you? They were wanting a rerun of yesterday's menu. That's exactly what they wanted. Look down here. What dost thou work? So how do you know that? Look at verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. They even quoted Bible. They even quoted Bible to try to get Jesus to do what they wanted him to do. Jesus worked the miracle in the Gospels to show who he was. The way the text reads, whenever Jesus takes the loaves, it's almost as if the miracle, the creative act, occurs right in his hands. You know, and we as kids, what did we used to sing? He got the whole world in his hands. Got the itty bitty baby in his hands. He got them barley loaves in his hands. Feed us out of your hand. I just made up that last part. But they're seeing that he's working this miracle. Well, the best way... Now, did I really see that miracle? Did I really see it? Did I really see it? I've talked to people who said, you know, and just preachers joking. They said, you know, sometimes I get to where I'm at that in the Lord, and there's no, Lord, I don't know what I need to do. It's like, Lord, nobody's around. Just go ahead and move the table. Move my desk. I won't tell anybody. Just move it. It's fine. You know. And we kind of laugh because most of us, not all of us, but most of us have probably had thoughts along that line. Lord, I won't tell anybody. Just go ahead and move it. Let me, you know. No. They wanted him to work that miracle again. They wanted him to do it again because they weren't interested in a Messiah. They were interested in a made, ready-to-order chef who would just take everything, give it to them. They don't have to work another day in their life. That's wonderful. Man alive. But I want you to look down here a little further because see that they even quoted Moses, and Jesus comes down in verse 32. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. The word manna just simply means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. So they just called it, what is it? He said, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God, watch this, is he. What's the meaning of what Jesus did? The bread of God is not a substance, it is a person. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, watch this, and giveth life, verse 33, unto the world. And they said, okay, that sounds great. Lord, evermore give us this bread. We want it. We want the bread that you're talking about. You did such a swell job yesterday. We followed you all the way over here. Go ahead and cook some more up. It don't matter if it's barley, if it's wheat, or whatever you got. I mean, we don't have to have them little fish down yonder in the, you know, out of the Sea of Galilee. We can have whatever kind of fish you want. Just go ahead and set them up again. Set the place out again. We'll sit down, same group, same place, same waiter we had last time. That sounds good. Serve it up. Lord, evermore give us this bread. When Jesus began to speak in verse number 35, he gives them not miracles. He disregards their motive, although he's talking to them. He's already addressed what Moses has said. He's giving them, listen, the message. And here's the message. I want you to look at verse 35. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. I'm going to feed you with a meal that once you partake of the meal, you'll never hunger again. And those who believe on me shall never thirst. He's not talking about a physical meal. He's talking about something far more important, far greater, far longer lasting. You remember whenever Ponce de Leon came over here from Europe? What was he looking for? He's looking for that fountain of youth. He's looking for the fountain of youth. Wanted to live forever. One of the old Indiana Jones movies that I watched back in the late 80s, they wanted to go find the Holy Grail, because if you found the Holy Grail and you drank out of it, why, you could live forever. I don't know about you, but this thing is starting to get some aches and pains. Starting to get where it stays tired all the time. Brother Jerry, don't say a word right now. Don't remember like it used to. I still expect you to say, welcome to the club. Amen, that's all right. Amen, that's right. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want to live forever in this body. I don't like it. It's overweight. It's ugly. I'd like to be, you know, a tad bit taller. You know what I'm saying? I'd like it to be a tad bit stronger. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't want to live to get forever in this body. Well, here's the thing. I'm not going to partake of a physical bread that's going to cause me to live forever. Not going to happen. Jesus has given the message, and he says this. You want something to eat? Look at me. I am the bread of life. But I want you to see something with me. And if you got an underliner, you got a highlighter, you want to highlight a few of these, you may already have highlighted these in your Bible. And if you have, it's fine. If you haven't, this is just a joy to me. Because as I read verse 37, I stopped there tonight just because how much I love that verse. Jesus says in verse 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And I want you to, and we're going to begin to look at a few verses down here. We're going to look at four different verses. Look at verse 39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Here's the message. The ones the Father has, it's the Father's will, those that are given to Jesus, Jesus loses none of them. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. Every one of the ones who belongs to Jesus, I'm going to put this in southern vernacular where folks from down south can understand it, he ain't going to lose nobody. Amen. He's not going to lose anybody. I want you to jump down with me to verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So the Father's will in verse 39 is that Jesus don't lose anybody. Verse 40, the Father's will is all who see the Son and believe on him will have everlasting life, and Jesus will raise him up at the last day. Now, say, preacher, I've never seen Jesus. Well, you've never seen him in the flesh, but you've seen him by the eye of faith. Where do you see Jesus? You see him right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And we could look at through the Scripture, and we see Jesus in here. I see Jesus in Genesis chapter number 1. I think we talked about that last week, did we not? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. How do you know Jesus was there? Well, number one, I'm told in the book of Colossians and over in the book of in Revelation, I think it's chapter number 3, that Jesus is the Creator. He's the one who created all things. We read in John 1, or quoted John 1, and without him was not anything made that was made. Number one, I know he's there in creation, but I also know that Jesus was there, if you will, as a picture of conversion. Because that's exactly what happens to folks who are unsaved and Jesus comes in. You're without form and void. Darkness is on the face of the deep. You have no hope whatsoever. But it takes a supernatural act of God. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God. And what does He do? God says, let there be light. Then hallelujah, the light comes in and you can see. That's good stuff. Amen, it is good stuff. Even if I am preaching, it's still good. Amen. So, everyone who sees the Son by faith and believes has everlasting life. Look at verse number 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Father draws, and folks come, and the Lord will raise him up. Look at verse number 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, this goes back to him being the everlasting, or being the bread of life, if you will. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, watch this, and I'll raise him up the last day. Now I'm going to go back and we're going to read the last part of these four verses again because I want you to see this. Now I know this is elementary. You'll forgive me for being elementary, but sometimes it helps just to be very simple. What is the message? The message is Jesus is the bread of life. Well, if you partake of the bread of life, that means that you can never die. Hey, man. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die no never. Jesus died on the tree for me. And I'm going to live forever. I know you kids could probably sing it better than I could. Amen. If you've partaken of the bread of life, listen to me, you cannot die. And here's what Jesus said. I want you to look at verse number 39. We're going to read the last part of each of these verses. You ready? Verse 39. I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44. I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 54. And I will raise him up at the last day. You see the message? You partake of the bread of life, and one day that body that we plant in the ground will be raised up at the last day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yes. Jesus is the bread of life. Christ is going to lose nobody who's been given to him. Now don't let that frighten you. Well, preacher, who in the world has been given to Christ by the Father? Who comes to him? Look in verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Have you heard of Jesus? Have you heard the claims of Christ? Have you given true weight that Jesus is different than anybody else? I really enjoy, I thank God for my American heritage. I thank God for it. I appreciate it. I say thank God. I'm thankful I was not born in China, Vietnam, Laos. I thank God I was not born in Saudi Arabia or in the middle of the Congo in Africa. Thank God I was born here in the States. I don't mean that negatively against anybody else. I thank God that I was born here in the States. Having said that, the foundation of many of our founding fathers, some of them were true believers. Some of them were. Don't believe all the hype that you hear on television. Some of them were deists, like Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin said this, that he wanted to emulate Jesus and Socrates. Now, as far as men go, Socrates was not a bad dude, as far as men go. He was a hoplite. He was a soldier. He knew what battle was like. He wasn't some old man wrapped in a robe, playing on a little bitty harp with a little bitty, olive branch around his head, sitting around talking to people. He was a soldier. He was a man who went out and fought and killed people. I mean, you gotta like a guy like that. But listen to me. I am not going to put Jesus on the same plane as Socrates. That's blasphemy. That's heresy. That's absolute error to put a mortal man on the same place as Jesus when really you've got to stop and think. Many of those folks believe Jesus was a mortal man. They're products of the Enlightenment. They didn't believe a lot of the miracles. We could talk about that from the same stuff that you would have learned in Western Civ, I guess. But the thing that I want us to understand is Jesus is more than just a man. He's not on the same level as Socrates. He was the one who gave life to this world, who gave Socrates' parents the ability to conceive him and have him, and the ability for him to go out and teach what he did. Amen. So understand the message is Christ himself is the bread of life. Everyone who's heard of the Father, everyone who's read will come to Christ. And Jesus said that all that have been come to him, he will lose nothing, but he'll raise it up the last day. Listen, every bit of that has to do with Jesus. Doesn't have anything to do with my works. Doesn't have to do with my church membership. Has nothing to do with whether I'm a Baptist or whatever. It has nothing to do with whether I've been baptized in water. The ones who come to Christ are the ones who will receive eternal life and will be raised up the last day. I say bless the Lord for that. Amen. Now, we see the message of Christ, but before we finish up, I've got to go back because in verse 41, Jesus already said twice that he was going to raise up those given to him, going to raise them up the last day, not going to lose anybody. Verse 41, then, or the Jews then, what your Bible say, murmured. That's interesting. The Jews in the Old Testament were in the wilderness, and you know what they did? They murmured. Look in the book of Numbers. Not tonight. Just get your phone out, look on, go online sometime. Look up the word murmur in the book of Numbers. And it's a wonder God just didn't kill them all. But they murmured because they were in the wilderness, didn't have anything to eat. These folks were in the wilderness, and they got their belly full yesterday. But they murmured because they weren't getting their way today. They murmured at him and said, because he said, I am the bread of heaven, which came down from heaven. It wasn't just that it confused them. They were looking for a meal. But it did bother them that they had to pick him over the physical bread. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. You see, Jesus was known to them only as the son of Joseph. And they were fine with his working of miracles as long as they benefited physically from it. There are folks who watch the television, and somebody had mentioned this today about watching a certain preacher on television, and as long as they could just touch the TV, they'd feel better. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I'd walk across the carpet and I'd touch the TV. You know what happened? I'd get shocked. They were fine as long as they physically benefited. But when faced with the truth, listen to me, that Jesus was not simply a made-to-order chef, but he was the message. He was the bread of life. Their reaction was completely and totally different. Jesus tells them that you have to eat the Son of Man. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now the Catholics take that, and they go off and say, we're going to transform the bread and the wine into the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if you didn't eat his flesh or drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, I'm thinking, well, Jesus said, I am the door. Is he a hollow core? Is he like wood? I mean, is he oak? Is he maple? What kind of door is he? Does he have brass fixtures? Antique brass? Polished brass? I mean, if he's the door, what does he look like? See, they take that in a wooden, literal sense, and that's not what it's talking about. How do you partake of Jesus' flesh and of his blood? How do you do that? You can't eat Jesus. He's not bread physically. You come to him in faith. The life that he lived and the death that he died purchase salvation for all who will come to him. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Now we make fun of that a lot. That's the Baptist anthem because we typically go out and we eat all the time. But we talk about this. It's more than just a physical meal that we're talking about here tonight. Jesus is talking about a meal that if a person will eat that, we've got it said four times. I will raise him up at the last day. Raise him again at the last day. Raise him up the last day. I'll raise him up the last day. It almost leads you to believe that people who die in Christ are going to be resurrected at the last day. Guess what I've done? I have placed all my faith and trust in what Jesus said. You're looking at an old boy who's coming out of the grave on the last day. Amen. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Just like that. This thing that you carry around that doesn't feel good, that has aches and pains, you have to take medicine for this, medicine for that, you know, all kinds of stuff. Hey, whenever the Lord comes back and it's immediately changed, automatically, no need for blood pressure medicine. Can I say hallelujah? No need for allergy medicine. Praise the Lord for that. No need for Tylenol, ibuprofen, no need for anything at all whatsoever. Praise God, they're not going to look for a COVID passport to get into the pearly white city. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing that is. Nobody's going to come knock on your mansion door and ask if you've been vaccinated. No, everybody who gets into that pearly white city has already come to Christ and everything's taken care of. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing that is. I have hope tonight that all of our loved ones who have died in the Lord will be recipients of the same promise that I'm looking forward to, that I will be raised up at the last day. I know that we live in this life, and I know we're not put here to stay. And I know we've not had more than our fair share. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, we were up here the first two or three years and seemed like every other service, Brother Artie, Miss Lily, pray for our family in Kentucky. We lost a cousin. We lost a friend. We lost a neighbor. And it's like, man alive, brother, I mean, you couldn't even put enough marks in a book. As many folks in your family have died, I guess, since I've been up here. You know, and I'm not being ugly. I'm just like, I just was floored one Wednesday night. I'm thinking, man, poor Brother Artie, Miss Lily. It's like, you know, yeah, they've all gone away, said the voice of a stranger. Yeah, that's right. And here it is, you know, we laid my mother-in-law to rest in October, father-in-law in March, my mom here just a couple of weeks, not a month ago. It's like, my lands. Like, I have been to the funeral home enough, I don't care to go back. But here's the deal. We live in this world. There will be a funeral home in every single life. In this building, there will be a funeral home at some point in time. There will be. What a blessing it would be for the Lord to come back in the rapture and us not to have to worry about paying the undertaker, because the upper taker has already taken us up. John sees a door open in heaven and he hears a voice that says, come up hither. Hallelujah. What a time it's going to be. Amen. So here's the thing. Salvation is not something mysterious. Salvation is not something mystical. Jesus compares receiving eternal life as eating bread. What do you do to eat bread? Amen, that's it. It's pulled out of the oven or pulled out of the bag, whichever one. I prefer it out of the oven, hand of grace, with butter and honey. Amen. Amen. I think we ought to put in an order this week for some butter and honey bread. Amen. She makes excellent bread. But you just take it out and you take a bite. Don't be confused by all the theologians who are really good at confusing people. Amen. I've read a few of them. I'm sure I've been guilty of it myself. Confusing people. I don't want to confuse anybody. Taking Jesus is just as simple as pulling a slice of that bread out of that bag and taking a bite. Based on what he said. And you've got it said four times that those who are in Jesus, those who've come to him as the bread of life, listen to me, those who've eaten his flesh and drinking his blood, listen to me, he will raise them up at the last day. Hallelujah. That's a blessing. Amen. I like the idea of living forever. I like that. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die no never. Y'all want to hear me sing it again? I didn't think so. Amen.